Couple things before I start. I am having my boy Sky Noh out there, he's going to read all of my verses for me. So I didn't want you guys to think that I'm some incredible ventriloquist up here. But now he's going to help me. He's got a better voice than I do, so he's got a mic in the audience. So just to solve that mystery now. you want to test that real quick?
Hello, hello.
There it is. All right. All right, good, good. Okay, so honestly, this talk is going to be a little bit more personal than I had originally intended due to some circumstances in my life, namely the current health status of my grandfather. He's 78 years old. He's had one lung for probably 25 years or almost 30 years. They just found cancer in that lung, and it's spread quickly, metastasized to a lot of parts of his body, including his brain. He's currently on hospice care right now, and just it's a little bit tough, but it's brought a lot of emotions forth, and I just wanted to kind of shape the context of what I'm preaching this sermon out of before I really get started. But so anyway, he isn't just my grandpa, but he was also my employer for 8+ summers when I was growing up. I was employed at his automotive paint shop. I say that to say that I've seen a lot of sides to the man. I've seen him love my grandma. I've seen him transact business, both successfully and otherwise. I've seen his anger. I've heard him belly laugh. I've seen his happiness. I've heard him cuss. I've watched him faithfully and quietly serve his church every single week. He takes attendance and he serves communion. And despite his old school toughness and that old school demeanor, I've heard him say the words, "I love you," to me every time I leave his house. He delivers parts for Advanced Auto Parts right now, or he did until recently. But he used to run his own auto parts stores all over Edmond called Greenlight. And then he consolidated that into an auto paint store, which is where I worked. Until last month, he rented an office in Edmond, same office he always had his auto paint store, but he kept the back office and the store still ran without him. But he kept that office after he delivered parts at Advanced Auto Parts. He'd go there and it was kind of his man cave, but it also served as a place where he handled his financial investments. A couple Saturdays ago, I spent some time working to clear that office out for the first time in decades. It brought up a lot of emotions, confusing emotions. It was like stepping back in time. As I gathered his things, it actually made me think of this video. So Chris, if you'll cue that video.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
You stay the hell away from me, you hear?
I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises.
You guys depressed yet? Well, don't be. While I was literally taking inventory of a piece of my grandfather's life, I know for a fact that he is currently, and he has been for a while, taking a sort of mental and spiritual inventory of his own life. You know, something beautiful is happening to his spirit right now. Physically, he's deteriorating, but a tough, calloused, yet sensitive, and often mysterious man who I respect deeply is opening up his heart to Jesus in a visible and outward way that I've never seen before. And now, I'm sure he's done that quietly, but I've never seen it as outward as it is right now. My grandpa was a quiet and behind-the-scenes kind of guy. And my grandma says that he's been surprised to see so many people come to visit him, coworkers from his new auto parts store, church friends, and longtime business associates are reaching out. They're visiting, they're writing cards, and they're calling to a degree that he didn't expect, and he's completely touched by. My parents-in-law, my father-in-law's here, actually took him communion last week, which really just made my heart happy. They really appreciated that. My sister recently moved to Virginia, and she flew back. She's a nurse, and she helped take care of him, along with my mom, who's a nurse. And they did things for him that, you know, a mother and a daughter, or granddaughter, sorry, a daughter and a granddaughter shouldn't have to do for their grandfather. But they love him. When people visit and they're about to leave his house, he asks if that person, whoever it is, will pray for he and my grandmother. Physically, it's excruciating for me to see his body endure the kind of pain he's going through. Spiritually, it's inspiring. At this point, I'm not even praying for healing as much as I am comfort and peace, a peace that passes understanding for him. He told my grandmother, and she told me this, he told my grandmother that he's made peace with God, he's asked for forgiveness of his sins, and that he's ready to go. Like I said, I've never seen him like this before. It's painful and it's weirdly beautiful. So, there's the context from where I'm coming from. The fruits of the Spirit. Sky?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Okay, so we're talking about goodness this week. Weirdly, all that's going to tie in to our subject today. But before we get into it, before we get into talking about the fruit of the spirit of goodness, Let's just remind ourselves that the fruits of the Spirit are something that is produced. Fruit is a product. This isn't a list of 9 to 12 theoretical metaphysical states of being. No, each fruit of the Spirit is a tangible product of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Love is produced, joy is produced, peace is produced. They're supposed to flow out of us. Today we're talking about goodness. So, you know, it's pretty easy to become desensitized to goodness. And, you know, insensitivity toward goodness is something that's worth protecting. Got another story. I was driving home with Penny last week, weekend from Missouri. She was in a wedding. She looked beautiful. To kill time in the car, sometimes she reads me trivia questions from an iPhone app because I'm a nerd like that, and I like to see how many trivia questions I can get. Sometimes we listen to nostalgic 90s pop music on the XM radio, and sometimes she reads me articles and other content on the internet aloud to me just to kill time. She's going to hate this story. somehow, she ended up reading aloud to me the Wikipedia entry for serial killer John Wayne Gacy. No need for details. I will not get into the details. But needless to say, he was one of he's the embodiment of evil on Earth, and he's very much the reason that most people find clowns to be creepy. She got done, and despite the fact that it was a terribly interesting subject, it was disturbing and interesting, we both felt icky afterwards, you know? And for the next few minutes, it was quiet. It was really quiet. And after some awkward quietness, after just feeling icky, we turned back on the 90s pop music. Because we realized that reading anymore was probably not a healthy exercise. On a side note, does anybody want to go on a road trip with Jacob and Penny? okay, so think of the things that can cause you to temporarily lose faith in humanity, to even question or doubt God. Reading too many headlines about the brutality of ISIS or ISIS-inspired violence. Watching friends get into ugly arguments on social media when the points of their arguments are overshadowed by the vitriol in their posts. Cancer. News of a loner racist entering a church in South Carolina and killing 9 African Americans that he didn't even know. News that a husband and wife of a family that you know, that you love and respect dearly, are in the midst of a vicious divorce. Frivolous lawsuits. Hearing damaging and disingenuous politically charged rhetoric from both sides of the aisle that attempts to prolong power at the cost of further dividing citizens of our country, and then seeing people buy it. Heck, going to Walmart to pick up some milk can make me lose my faith in humanity sometimes. You know what? That's not fair. I just listened to Dewey's sermon on love, and he had a whole part in there about people watching and how that's fun, but how he also catches himself judging people and how we shouldn't do that. So forget my whole Walmart comment. Walmart is a fine place to go. I could go on, but honestly, just like reading serial killer Wikipedia pages for too long, I don't think it's a healthy exercise.
For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Okay, think back to that Johnny Cash song. The lyrics go, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. It's a message of extreme callousness, a message of being desensitized to goodness, to the point where the only way he can feel is to experience pain. And to his credit, he didn't write that song. Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails wrote that song, so you can see where the darkness was coming from. But he was in a place in his life where the lyrics to that song made him realize, you know, I've accomplished all this, and yet you see the picture of the broken gold record on the floor. It's powerful, powerful stuff. You know what, though? I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be desensitized to goodness. And you know what? I have a ton of nihilistic tendencies. For instance, My favorite author is Ernest Hemingway, who killed himself with a shotgun. My favorite book of the Bible is Ecclesiastes, everything is meaningless, quote unquote. And my favorite TV show is Mad Men, which is basically the book of Ecclesiastes set in the 1960s. But here's the deal though, I have hope.
Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
I have hope because I believe in the resurrection of a crucified Jesus Christ that gives meaning and purpose to my life. And if I didn't believe that, well, I think Solomon's onto something. Everything is meaningless outside of a hope and eternal salvation by grace through faith because of Jesus. Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. That's Andy Dufresne from Shawshank. And I promise that's the only time during this talk that I'm going to quote Shawshank Redemption. But it does fit here. So how do we produce goodness as a fruit of the Spirit? How? Well, we don't produce it. The Holy Spirit within us does. But he's got to have some room to operate, which means we have to make room for him. So how do we do this? How do we let the Holy Spirit produce goodness within us? We all know the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. It's probably something your parents told you when you were watching MTV as a teenager. My dad's here today. Dad, you're right. It's trash. It's the same concept as the old adage, you are what you eat. What you put into your body directly affects how you feel and who you are. And feelings and emotions and your psychological health affects what kind of choices you make and actions you take. And you know, and rather than focus on the negative, as in what are the things that I should not intake or partake of, and that's definitely something you should do. You should definitely avoid certain things, don't get me wrong. Just today, I want to talk about the same concept in the opposite context. So I want to talk about goodness in, goodness out, filling your life with goodness so that it overflows with out of you in your daily life. A phrase that I constantly use as a reminder to take in and ingest goodness, a reminder to become full of goodness so that it overflows out of me is the phrase, think on such things.
Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
And the band can make their way up. This is going to be a short sermon, so you're all lucky. I've mentioned a few kind of dark things today. I won't recount them. Sorry to bring you down a little bit. So to balance that out, I'm going to list out some specific examples of goodness. Some of these are mine. Some of them are most definitely not mine. But I did ask a few people just to give me a handful of examples, specific examples of goodness. Like I said, some are mine, some aren't. But these are the types of things that I want to think on. I want to fill myself up with goodness so that it overflows out of me. That's what I want you to get out of this today. So here's a list. Coming home after a long day to a gorgeous wife and an excited 9-year-old weenie dog that loves you unconditionally. Okay, that one's mine. Hearing your favorite song on the radio at the perfect moment. Worshiping genuinely and energetically at Skyline on Easter Sunday. A mother holding her newborn for the first time after a beautiful and confusing 9 months of pregnancy. Seeing the ocean for the first time. Seeing Times Square for the first time. A father watching his first child be born when he never thought he'd be one of those guys who would ever go south of her shoulder during the labor process. A tasty wine and a juicy steak. Witnessing your children or your siblings marry the very people that you would have chosen for them if you could have. Does Bryant's new 5-year, $70 million contract with the Dallas Cowboys? I don't know how that got in there. It doesn't really fit. Actually, that one's mine too. Deep conversation and laughter over a beer and cigars with your lead minister and close friend. Watching YouTube videos of dogs and other animals doing silly things. That one is not mine. Watching a soldier surprise his spouse after returning home from a long deployment. Endless text conversations with hilarious and loyal college friends. Skiing down a mountain without falling down for the first time. Cherishing and never letting go of that lucky penny you found a long time ago. Seeing your parents and your friends love each other through thick and thin. Telling your ailing grandparent that he's going to have his first great grandchild. And then, I also think on this instruction from Solomon in Ecclesiastes.
So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life God has given them under the sun.
And then, most importantly, think about this.
Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So the band's about to lead us in worship of our God, the only thing that makes life have meaning and purpose. They're about to get started. You may file down the aisles and partake of communion as you feel led.